You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Good morning. It was on the short list for the Ohioana Book Award for Fiction, a book called The Promise by Anne Weisgarber. Ohio native, this is her second novel and tells quite a tale of a woman from Dayton moving to Galveston Island just before the devastating 1900 storm. Anne, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark. I'm thrilled to be here.
So you have Ohio roots here, Anne. You grew up in Kettering, but have now landed in Texas. What brought you to Texas?
Well, my husband and I attended Wright State University in the Dayton area, and after graduation, we just kind of had the itch to go someplace different, and my husband had a job offer with Exxon, and so that sealed it. We came to Houston at that time.
As a woman from Ohio moving to Texas, was this some of what informed your novel, The Promise? Because it is about a woman from Dayton, Ohio, who ends up marrying a man and living on a dairy farm on Galveston Island, Texas. Let's just say Catherine, the character, when she gets to Galveston, is kind of a fish out of water.
Exactly, Mark. And it's true that I drew on my experience of coming to Houston. The big difference is poor Catherine, she arrived in August, which is the hottest time of the year anybody could possibly go to Texas. My husband and I actually moved in January, so I had a little bit of time to ease into the climate. But yes, the climate was a shock. It's so humid along the Gulf Coast, and even the food was different for me. I had never eaten shrimp other than served in a restaurant as shrimp cocktail. And, along the coast, it's just everywhere. And the first time I cooked shrimp at home, I didn't know to peel it. And so I served it with the shell still on. So all those experiences I drew upon. And, of course, Texas at that time was a place where people were coming when they got in trouble. There was an expression, it was GTT, gone to Texas. And it usually meant people were trying to escape their past. Not that I was escaping my past when I
no.
moved to Texas, but many, many people were doing that.
I love, and I don't know whether this is just endemic in Midwesterners or whatever, but I love the way you write about the weather, Anne, because you did capture that shock for Catherine here in 1900, moving to Texas, the humidity, I love the different ways you describe the sun beating down upon her and what the, how the sun feels. And that seems to be where a lot of the shock for Catherine as a character showing up in this place, it was the heat and the food. It just really is a difference. And at one point she says, I am a stranger. And did you feel strange when you made your move to Texas?
I did, and I remember, and this was in the 70s, I remember very clearly being called a Yankee. And,
yes.
and that term still comes up today. So there again, I was thinking of Catherine in 1900. The Civil War is very fresh in the memory of Southerners, and this part of Texas was very much part of the South. And so even that was fun for me to play with, that Catherine would realize that she's moved into enemy territory almost in many ways. And so there was that social climate that was different for her. And also, I think when I was doing the research, I was fascinated by Dayton's history. And growing up someplace, sometimes you don't, that's just a big bore when you're growing up. But doing my research and how innovative and how progressive Dayton was at that time period, and yet very strict in social manners. And Galveston in some ways was almost a different feeling where, anything went. And that was new for Catherine as well, this attitude of, we're just kind of, we're just here to make money. Not that that was the environment she actually moved, but it was, everything was different for her.
I'm speaking with Anne Weisgarber about her second novel, The Promise. You can learn more about The Promise and Anne's work at our website, wvxu.org. And I was also struck, you have Catherine being a pianist, a classical music pianist, and music plays a vital role in your novel, The Promise. Where did this music, how did the music come to the story for you?
Well, when I was a kid, I took piano lessons for 5 torturous long years. and it was enough for me to appreciate the talent of a musician. But thinking about my Catherine character, I wanted music to be part of her life. And I wanted her to be really a different kind of woman for 1900. She's college trained. And when I was doing my research, I thought, okay, did women at that time period, because she would have been in school in the 1880s, was there a college that accepted women? And was there a college that accepted women into their music school? And I, you know, stumbled across, of course, Oberlin College, mm-hmm. and that did accept women. And then it all just kind of flowed for me after that. And I will also say that Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven's beautiful composition, played a big role in guiding much of the novel, because the storm survivors of the 1900 storm, and it was the worst natural disaster in the United States in terms of deaths, with about 6,000 to 8,000 people who died. But people, survivors, talked about being out in the Gulf of Mexico, clinging to boards, clinging to branches of trees, or they were in Galveston Bay being swept by these massive waves, and looking up and seeing the full moon behind wispy clouds, and this was around midnight, and they knew that they had survived the worst of the storm. And so Moonlight Sonata just kind of kept that feel for me. And also Beethoven was said to have written that piece because he was madly in love with a woman who was above him in social class, and her parents would not allow their daughter to marry Beethoven. And so that also was part of the book, where the Oscar character, is of a different social class than Catherine. So the music just kind of fed into it. And I also think, Mark, that my training as a sociologist makes me very aware that popular culture shapes our world. So of course I had to have music.
Well, you include it as well in the other main female lead in your novel, The Promise, Nan Ogden, because she's a fiddler, and it's right after Catherine arrives and has wedded Oscar that there is a dance for the people on the island to get to meet the new bride. And that's kind of a fun scene there with Nan, not necessarily a concert pianist, but still entertaining a crowd on her fiddle.
Right, and I had so much fun writing that scene. And also knowing that scene was happening just 7 days before the storm was coming in. But Nan and Catherine, who come from very different social classes, very different backgrounds, have music in common, and for a moment it links them. And that was fun for me to bring in that link, but because music is often something that will help us cross barriers. Not that it really did with these two women, but for a little bit. And also, I wrote that scene where there are some nuns who are dancing a jig as Nan is playing the fiddle faster and faster and faster. And that was really a scene that I wrote in memory of my father, who grew up in Miamisburg, Ohio, near Dayton, and went to a small Catholic school and had the memory of seeing the nuns at his school dance and doing the jig and being stunned that they had legs. So I wrote that scene for many people.
I'm speaking with Anne Weisgarber. Her second novel is The Promise, now available where books are sold. Her first novel was The Personal History of Rachel Dupree. Now, I didn't sense this as a historical novel at first, Anne, when I was reading The Promise. I found it more as a love story, more of a struggle for your the character Catherine, as she's dealing with the social mores in Dayton, Ohio, and fleeing them to Galveston, Texas, to marry a man that she had gone to school with years earlier. I didn't see it as a historical novel, but I realized later on that it actually is. What part of the history attracted you to writing The Promise?
Well, thank you, Mark. That's a real compliment because, when writing fiction, always the characters have to come first. And the challenge for a writer is to weave in the historical facts. But what drew me to writing about this particular story was the 1900 storm, and which is such a part of the culture along the Gulf Coast. And when I was just reading, just for fun, pure fun, I was reading about the storm, and almost nothing has been written about people who were outside of the city limits of Galveston. And that struck me as a real oversight and made me want to remember not just the victims who lived outside of the city limits who have been forgotten. And these were the dairy farmers. These were the cattle ranchers. These were fishermen, their employees, their families. And it was this as if the unschooled people just didn't matter, and that I cared very much about them. So I wanted to tell the story of what it was like outside of the city limits, and especially to remember the survivors, because I don't know how people put one foot in front of the next after such a horrific storm.
Well, and it was. You mentioned one of the worst natural disasters in the United States in the 20th century. The city of Galveston was under, 10, 15 feet of water.
Right.
I remember the story, but the wind gauge at the weather service blew off because the winds were blowing so strongly. And I can imagine that did leave a lasting effect on the city.
Yes, there are buildings today that buildings that survived where there are the markers placed to show how high the water had been in 1900, and the same with our most recent storm Ike, and all hurricanes are compared to the 1900 storm because it was just so devastating. And then what happened afterwards, it really changed the future of Galveston. Galveston in 1900 was one of the wealthiest cities in the United States because of the shipping industry, cotton, real estate, the railroad lines. But after that, it really fell, and Houston kind of came in, not really for the kill, but in some ways did, and became then the seaport of choice, and Galveston declined soon after the 1900 storm. So the impact not only on Galveston but Houston was tremendous.
Well, Anne, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about your book this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It was great fun.
Anne Weisgarber, her second novel is The Promise. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.